Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
This is Paul Hawksby.
Andy Jacobs.
And welcome once again to the H&J Daily, some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. Well, it's the close season, which means we basically have to think outside the box, which is why we spoke to a coffee professor.
Yeah.
And the man that has campaigned for the world's steepest hill. But they both have a sporting context, don't they, Andy?
They do.
And if you... as you'll discover.
Speaking to both of them.
So yeah, they were good. We had a bit of a conversation, didn't we?
We did. We had quite several conversations, as we do often in the off-season.
In the course of 3 hours. So here it all is. Enjoy. Good afternoon, Andy. And can I kick off this afternoon with the core subject and leaning on your excellent memory?
Oh, yeah.
Because this comes from a sad place. The actor Brian Marshall, probably best known for The Long Good Friday and other fine work, a very good, sort of good, solid British actor who worked for many years, passed away. And one of the things in his obituary today was in 1965, he was cast in his first recurring television role as the captain of Brentwich United in BBC's twice weekly soap opera.
United.
Now. Yeah. Somehow, I cannot believe this has passed me by. There is probably a good reason for it, because the BBC wiped every episode
of
it. Every one of them has gone. No one has any record at all of these shows. It was a twice-weekly soap opera in the EastEnders envelope. They had 147 episodes of it between 1965 and 1967. And there were some recognisable names
in there. I'd say I watched all of them. I think it was a character in it called Bob McIver, the manager.
I've got the names here. There was Curly Parker.
Yeah.
Danny South. Deirdre Gosling. it was Bob McIver.
Yeah. Look at that. Can't remember last week, but can remember.
Yeah. George Layton was in it, who did lots of the Doctor series and A&R Fotmum. He played Jimmy Stokes in 85 episodes. Yeah. There's a lot of other. Tony Caunt, a great old British character actor, was in Eastie's for years. Yeah. Stephen Yardley. So a lot of Ronald Allen, a lot of recognisable people.
Very much in the Dream Team envelope.
Yeah, but very similar. More of a 60s feel on Dream Team.
Yes, but very, very similar idea, you know, to Dream Team. Dream Team reminded me of it when it came on.
The football scenes were filmed Stoke City. Jimmy Hill acted as a technical advisor on it.
Oh, really?
And apparently Wolves got very upset that their management of Wolves said the series was based on them and they thought it was all a bit too close. The problem was it fell between two stools. It wasn't successful. Two series, 147 episodes. Too soft to appeal to a male audience and too male-orientated for a female soap opera audience. That was the feeling. So
not enough people shouting, get out of me, pub.
Yeah. So what they did, they wiped every one of the videotapes. So all 147 episodes are gone.
That is a shame.
Now, I never knew there was a football soap opera. It's the only one that ran for 2 years. I mean,
Were you born?
I was about two or something. But it's still...
How could you not remember
it?
No,
I would have thought somewhere in the ether I would have realised there was a football soap opera. But the fact there's no footage left. Now, the reason I bring it up is that the team in it, the fictional second division football team.
Some bloke in Malaysia would have taped it, and there'll be one in
it. You reckon there'll be some? Yeah, yeah, okay. How would he have taped it in 1965? You haven't thought that through, have you, Andy?
No, what happens was they were tapes made and they were sent out to various places. That's how some of this stuff has been rediscovered.
None of it was ever sold abroad. This show was never, never sold it abroad. Yeah, so I don't think any of it exists or survives.
Well, there you go. That's incredible.
But the team was called Brentwich United.
What a team they are.
And I'd say it's the reason there's not any great football fiction generally, it's very hard to do, is that arriving at an authentic-sounding name for a fictional football team is really, really difficult. I mean, remember all the comics you used to read as a kid, Scorcher and stuff?
Melchester.
Well, Melchester doesn't sound like a real place, does it, or does
not
it?
Not really. I mean, Warbury.
Yeah, Warbury's not bad, actually. Yeah. Of all the ones, it could be a Warbury. The Everpool, I remember one comic did. There was a team called Everpool.
That's rubbish. So if you that's not even trying.
If you think you've cracked it, give us your best example of a fictional football club
name.
That's
a good idea.
Just see if you can come up one this afternoon that doesn't make us... It doesn't make us go, no, that doesn't work. So give it a try. TalkSport.com/H&J. Text to 81089 and tweet to TSHNJ.
Grantchester United would have worked.
Yeah, probably would have done. Grantchester United is not too bad.
Well, you know, the place where the fictional place where the vicar is the detective.
Yeah, but maybe have they got a football team? They're bound to have a football episode one day. One of the players gets bumped off.
There's Holby City and Holby Rovers, I think.
Oh yeah, yeah.
There's always whenever they play each other, there's always a casualty in the department.
So not real ones. All your own work. All your own work this afternoon. Can you come up with one?
I know far too much about fictional football.
You do. Talksport.com. Text 81089 to eat TSHNJ. And something else to get you going on. Have you ever been for a night out and forgot something when you've got home, a bit tired and emotional? I asked the question because Ben Stokes arrived back at the hotel. I mean, look, he'd had a couple. He wasn't out of control. He'd had a couple and returned without his shoes to the team hotel. Somewhere between winning the World Cup and getting back to the hotel, he was minus his shoes.
He should have walked across Abbey Road like Paul McCartney.
Quite a nice idea.
Mystery things.
Yeah. So things you were after a tired and emotional night, things you returned home without, to everybody's surprise. TalkSport.com, text 81089, tweet TSHNJ. And the line really of the World Cup, post-World Cup, came from Trevor Bayliss, the coach, on Ben Stokes. He said, I don't want this taken out of context, but Ben's a real fighter. Now, we knew what he meant.
Yeah, we did.
We knew what he meant.
Roy Davis has written to The Sun from Northwich in Cheshire and receives from me the international football ban for this letter.
Well done.
He says, I hope the England football team followed the Cricket World Cup. They may have learned something about how to win. The cricketers displayed real skill, were brave under pressure, full of tenacity and had the will to win. Yeah, a bit lucky as well, but don't worry about that. The stamp of real champions.
Yes. Yeah.
Honestly, well, that's it. Fine, you're never watching England football team ever again, Roy. That's
unenforceable, Andy, I've told you.
Yeah, I don't care. I'm going around his house, cut his cables.
Is that what you're going to do?
I am.
Right. I mean, would you ever show that kind of... Did we talk about this on air or off air the other day? I was talking to someone about the old Spike Milligan story, where Spike Milligan asked a bloke. A bloke said, oh, Spike, can I have your autograph, please? He said, why do you want it? He said, because I'm a big fan of yours, and I want to keep it and treasure it. So he said, well, okay, fair enough, I'll do it. He said, but give me your address. So the guy thought it was a bit weird, and he wrote down his address. 2 years later, Spike's at the door. Remember we? You said you'd treasure it. Where's that autograph?
Did he have it?
I know it's here somewhere.
Oh,
I don't
know.
But yeah, put him on the spot. Yeah. What about that?
So would you go
to those lengths to make sure the ban is in existence?
Yes, all these people around Roy's house. I'm sure he's a very nice man, but you know, he shouldn't do that, really.
Somebody's come up with Nottingham Florist. That's rubbish, isn't it, really? No one's going to believe that as a football team. Nottingham Florist.
Nottingham Florist.
What about, this comes from, Transmission. It says, Barnsdale Rovers. Now, because that sounds so fictional,
so
doesn't it?
So fictional, Barnsdale.
Yeah. Bumble City and Bumble United. No, they're not working,
place,
are they?
Is it Bumble?
Yeah, what about that? Pontypool FC.
exist, doesn't it?
A place where a famous fireman is from. Fireman Sam. See, Dave, these are real. These are already in existence. We need a completely original and fresh.
Is there
take.
A place called Pontypool? Sounds.
Yeah, of course, there's a place called Pontypool. Yeah,
I thought there was.
It's the rugby heartland, isn't it? Pontypool Front Row and all that.
Okay.
Stoke Vale FC. Oh, I know that'd be be in the Potteries. I would guess. That don't have to be like Everpool. We said that one was one that didn't work. Talksport.com, text 81089. Tweet TS
place.
Of course it is.
Yeah, what's the point of saying that then?
No, but he was, I think he was, I don't know.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Off the back of the late lamented, well, to be honest, none of us knew really much about it. It was called United. It was a soap opera that ran for 2 years, albeit in the 60s.
I knew about it.
You remembered it?
Yeah.
You remember watching it?
Yeah, I do. I remember, I told you.
Why
I remember
you
the main
bring it up all these years?
I remember the main character. You'd taken the mickey out of me.
None of them...
I wouldn't want them.
None of them survived the episodes. It's not the cast, obviously, but anyway, we...
Well, I'd say... Probably
well,
not.
Yeah. So we're interested to hear today if you can come up with a fictional football team name that sounds authentic. It's an incredibly difficult thing to do, as maybe many of the emails and texts are proving. But look at this one from Justin. He said, when I was younger, I used to run us a beauty league with my friends, and my team was called Oakhampton United.
Oakhampton United?
That sounds... What do you think?
Bad,
what league would that be? That'd be very Sunday morning?
No, a bit higher than that. Ryman's.
Okay. Paul Thistle. I don't think that's going to work, really. That's,
yes.
Gorge United.
SP2.
Okay, Gorge United. What league?
Gorge.
Are they? Yeah, Gorge.
Welsh National League.
Okay.
I think it's called that.
What else? The Durham Diplomats, as Ian in Cumbria.
They're an IPL team.
I think they probably
They could
are.
Be the new team for the 100.
Crystal Park. You're just taking two different team names and putting them together. Glen in Canterbury.
Not bad, Crystal Park, but yeah.
Tingston FC, says Vinny. Tingston.
Tingston.
I think he was playing darts when he did that. Staunton FC, says Liam. That sounds a bit Sunday morning.
Yeah, Staunton FC.
Anyway, let's move on. We don't really want to bring more bad news to the good people of New Zealand, but we are forced to. We have no choice. They have long claimed to have the steepest street in the world. Baldwin Street in Dunedin has been usurped.
I know, yeah.
And the man behind the usurping joins us now, Gwyn Headley. Good afternoon, Gwyn.
Hello.
It's your timing.
Guilty now.
Your timing.
No, congratulations.
Congratulations, but your timing could have been better, couldn't it? The day after.
I could have waited for the World Cup, Rugby World Cup.
Well, that's true.
Yeah. So, I've seen pictures of Baldwin Street, and they do have a big sign there saying "Welcome to Baldwin Street, the world's steepest street." So they're going to have to take that down, aren't they?
Well, they know where they can turn the signs, don't they? Now. Ship them over to Wales.
That's true.
We'll have them.
Yeah,
save you the money.
So tell us the story of how your street in Harlech became the steepest.
Well, I was driving down it one. I go into the town. I live just a mile south of the centre of Harlech, and I drive in, pick up my paper at the paper shop because I'm an old git and read papers, and then drive down Clare. And do a little circle back home. And I got myself a new car last year with four-wheel drive and anti-lock brakes. Mm. And I was driving down Llech, and it just slid straight on. This is in August, all four wheels locked, sliding inexorably towards a brick wall. And I thought, this is very steep. Mm. And I went back home and I looked it up on Wikipedia, and it said Llech was the steepest street in the United Kingdom with a gradient of 37%. And I thought, well, if that's the steepest street in the UK, what's the steepest street in the world? So I looked up Wikipedia, and there was Baldwin Street in Dunedin in New Zealand with a slope of 35%. Oh, I'm not going to leave it at that. I wrote to Guinness and I said, I want the record.
Man, what about Lombard Street in San Francisco? That's pretty steep.
Nowhere near as steep as that.
It's just zigzag.
Okay. Mm. Yeah. All right, okay.
It's not a slope. It hasn't got the slope that we've got.
No.
And Guinness sent me the parameters, and God, they're severe, There are 10 parameters you've got to stick to. It's not just the gradient. It's got to have it's got to be a public thoroughfare. It's got to have houses either side. It's got to be loads and loads of stuff that we had to adhere to. There's one thing we could do. They wanted a blueprint of the street, but the street has been there since time immemorial.
Right.
It's over 1,000 years old. Wow. And it's just grown up organically, so there was never any blueprint. I mean, we've got a 13th century castle on the street.
Wow, wait.
and it's just so wonderful. It's great. We're a UNESCO World Heritage Site. The Morva at the bottom, the sea plain at the bottom, is a site of special scientific interest. We're on the Wales Coast Path. What else? Oh, yes, we're in the Snowdonia National Park. It's a great little town. We've got fewer than 2,000 people living there, but it's just a wonderful place, and it's very, very beautiful. And now we've got the steepest street in the world.
You keep talking, up, Gwyn. I'm frightened. There's a few people going to start moving in.
Yeah, you don't want that.
Yeah,
I feel for the postman. Your postman. I mean,
yeah.
He's as fit as a flea.
Well, he would be, wouldn't he? Yeah.
Pete Smith trots up that street every morning. And he's in great shape. He's a lovely guy.
Has he got a bike? He hasn't got a bike, Gwyn. I'll take he walks up. Does he all?
He walks up. Right. He walks up. He doesn't have a bike. No, come on, it's Harlech. This is rural Wales. And I tell you what, we would like, and you guys will know. We want to get Geraint Thomas to cycle up it for us.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
How do we do that? How do we get that?
He's been
occupied at the moment.
Yes, but if he wins, I'm sure, you know, if you put it to his people.
Yeah.
We
could be the start of the tour. Maybe we could have the Grand Depart from the hill. That would liven it up, things up, wouldn't
idea.
It? Yeah.
That would sort the wheat from the chaff.
It would. For little caravans throwing kids at the sweets at the kids and all that. So, as you said, was it quite high-tech to arrive at your gradient, or what were the techniques they were using?
Well, we used... I met a bloke through a book. We both featured in a book called The Dull Men of Great Britain.
Oh, tremendous. Congratulations.
I'm a very dull person. And at the launch party of his book, I met this guy called Merlin Phillips, who measures mountains.
Right.
That's his job. He goes around and measures the height of mountains. And so when I was thinking about the steepness of Fort Penclerc, I thought, Merlin's the ideal person. So we got Merlin out, and he came up and he measured Clare. And then in the Guinness parameters, it disqualified him because he was not appointed by Gwynedd Council, and the surveyor had to have been appointed and overseen by the local roads authority.
Wow.
So we had to do it all over again.
So I was going to ask about daredevils like to turn up in Baldwin Street in Dunedin and fly down it. I've seen footage of it today.
Mm. Skiers.
So, Would you get a similar sort of thing going on, Gwyn? I mean, you think you're going to expect you're going to attract more people that are going to go racing down on their bikes?
I don't think so, because Baldwin Street is a ramp, isn't it?
Yes,
it's in a dead straight line. We're wiggly, twisty, turny.
Hmm.
If you start rolling teasers down the front Penclerc in Harlech, they're all going to land up in Hen Velin, which is somebody's house.
Ah, that's no good. And what qualified you to be among Britain's dullest men? You don't sound like qualify.
I write books and architectural follies.
Oh, that's interesting. What about somebody? Somebody mentioned.
Well, no, I've got. He wouldn't be in the book.
I don't know who it is. We've got one near us, an architectural folly.
You're in it.
No, yeah, I'm not. Yeah, probably am. Somebody mentioned to me that you're something quite high up in the world of mahjong. Is that true?
Oh, yeah, I'm afraid so. I'm president of the British Mahjong Association.
Wow. That's all interesting stuff.
Yeah, that is, you shouldn't be in there, man. You're very interesting.
Rip the pages out when you're next in the library. Gwyn, congratulations. Have you had any feedback from Baldwin Street? Have they sent you a done or not?
Oh, yes. The journalists have been very polite. The residents have been posting things on the internet, and they're the sort of things that you'd expect to see posted at 2 o'clock in the morning.
They're bitter.
If you could use green ink on the internet, that's what you'd see.
Wow.
It's a bit rough. It's a bit scary, actually.
Well, look, Gwyn, lovely to speak to you. Thanks very much for joining us today.
Thanks so much. It's been great touch.
There we are. So, bad news is Simon Telfall's been in touch.
Yeah.
And he says that there's one gradient out. In fact, they are still. He's had a look at it. He's had a look at the gradient. And he said it was just a clear mistake's been made. So, what about that being abused online by the drunken residents of Baldwin Street in Dunedin because your street has got a 1% gradient more?
It looks impressive on Google Maps.
It does. Just looked it out. Yeah. We used to, when I was a kid,
what a
we used to have
a place. Look at it.
When I was a very young kid. I was talking to old DJ Locksmith about it because that's his part of the world in Clapton,
what, Wales,
Spring Hill. I used to go down on my bike as a kid down to Spring Hill, down on the River Lee there in Clapton, and go charging down that. It's probably not that steep. It's nowhere near as steep as that. I remember it being very steep. Did you have one of those little go-to places?
Andy? Can't say I did really.
Did you have a bike?
I had a bike. Yeah. Of course, I had a bike.
What was it? Was it penny farthing?
I can't.
When it first came out?
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Yeah.
No, it was a normal. I can't even remember.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
How our last guest, Gwyn Headley, ended up in a book of Britain's most boring men is beyond us. His Wikipedia entry is incredible. As a child, Gwyn lived in Accra, Gold Coast, brackets, now Ghana, Krumpendorf, Austria, Berlin, Germany, Warsaw, Poland, Westmarler, Belgium, and Paris, France, before his family
his dad was
settled in Chelsea.
Or something.
I'm guessing he was, yeah. He wasn't on the bins, was he?
Don't think so.
Living in Chelsea in the 1960s, he formed the Sloane Squares, a beat group, which played many venues across the capital, supporting, you ready for this?
Yeah.
John Lee Hooker, Jimi Hendrix, Pink Floyd, The Small Faces, Eric Clapton, and Peter Frampton, amongst others.
So what a man.
Can he end up in that book?
I thought he was really nice. Very interesting, man. Yeah, you can tell.
You're trying to come up with fictional football team names that sound authentic, and I think it's been proven that it's very difficult. This off the old soap opera from the 60s that I've only found out about today that Andy remembers. And the team in that, fictional team, were called Brentwich United, which is not fooling anybody now or probably then, I would say.
Cresta City.
That sounds like a ventriloquist act, doesn't it? Cresta City. Who does he play for? He plays for Cresta City. That doesn't work, does it?
Yeah.
The steepest street sign could be burnt like the ashes and sent to Wales, says H. That's a good idea. They could play cricket on that hill.
That's a very good idea.
It's about bowling down the slope. Whittle Wanderers, says Janet in Chorley. Whittle Wanderers, what does that sound like to you, Andy?
Ooh, Whittle Wanderers.
What league would they be? Non-league?
Non-league still, yeah. They don't really sound like
Broomfield league. Town, says Justin. That sounds
They could be League Two. They've done well. They've come through the system.
I love the way you've given this a lot of thought. It's quite a difficult thing to get this right, isn't it, really? So anyway, go keep them coming. Talksport.com/H&J. You can text to 81089 or you can tweet to TSHNJ, TSHANDJ, Stowe Park Rangers. That feels like a junior football team.
They do, really.
Alistair, good try.
Affiliated to Queen's Park Rangers, like formed by fans of Queen's Park Rangers.
We don't have that affiliate system. In baseball, you have affiliate teams, don't you, that then feed into the big sides. We don't really have that. Do we have that?
Well, when my boy was young, I remember playing involved with the London Lions, and they were sort of affiliated to Millwall. They were sort of youth thing.
There was a period
when successful, I think.
We seemed to be affiliated to Leeds as we took about three or four players off of them on the cheap, which was a bit naughty. But I mean, now and again, you have a little run.
You
of
are
players.
Affiliated to Real Madrid.
Yeah, that's right. But that's a one-way street.
Well,
it
might be coming back.
Wow. I don't know, you heard, Jonathan Barnett earlier on today was saying it's not true on TalkSport.
I think it's
Gareth
really
Bale
a shame
rumors.
It's not true because it makes, Ian Holloway was brilliant on Breakfast about this. He was, you know, it makes sense for Real Madrid, it makes sense for Tottenham. Mm. It would immediately lift Tottenham into a position of being, rather than being probably third, actually challenging. I think it would really make a difference to them. You know, if Kane got injured, you've got a bloke that can play at centre-forward. I always know if when I hear about a deal like that, I think, oh no, that means it's a good deal for the club. Whereas if I think, oh good, it means
it doesn't really fit, does it, with the way Tottenham generally do their business?
No, but they're changing, aren't they? And you know, he's got a history there at the club. He's still got three good years. He's a top player. Mm. If you get him, if you, and actually he played 42 games. That Alan was telling us this morning.
Was it that many?
He only started 9, but he played 42.
Okay, so, I thought he only played about 30. But
I'm going on Alan's figures, but I presume he's
well.
Was
I'm
well
sure
informed.
If he would have checked him, his team would have checked him for him. So I'm sure he's right. But yeah, look, I mean, he's probably a bit. He's injured more than I went a bit Australian then, didn't I? Yeah, look. I'm getting ready for the Ashes.
I do love that line that I heard. Alan had to go to a meeting with one of the officials, Premier League officials, came to chat to us about VAR.
Yeah.
He said, I'd rather go to the BAR. Brilliant. He is funny.
Sounds about right.
Yeah, sounds about right, yeah. What else? I see Steve Bruce leaving the Artisan Bakery.
Yeah.
The one thing Steve doesn't need is the Artisan Bakery, really.
How did they snap him outside the Artisan Bakery?
I don't know.
Do you think that was a punter's kind of picture or not? What do you think
went
on there?
I think somebody said, oh, look, Steve Bruce is in the Artisan Bakery.
Who says that? Who says, apropos of absolutely nothing at all, oh, look, Steve Bruce is in the Artisan Bakery?
He's getting an olive focaccia.
She's a lovely girl. She's a lovely girl, yeah, Olive.
She plays for Inter Milan Women.
Yeah, tremendous.
Olive.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Now, we often ask the question, is this sport? I think we know the answer to this. No, it isn't. But let me tell you what it is.
Okay.
ESPN, thankfully, tweeted out some footage of the first ever, and quite possibly the last, heavy metal knitting world championships.
Sport.
That you think?
Of course.
That took place in Finland. Well, look, okay, heavy metal music and knitting do not necessarily mean sport. Why is it sport?
Because presumably you're knitting against competitors.
What you're doing, there's a heavy metal band playing, and you're headbanging in the foreground on the stage, and you're knitting at the same
time.
That's
quite tricky, that is.
It is, yeah, it is.
But what's the criteria? Do you have to? Is it the first person to knit a pair of socks?
I don't know.
Or a scarf.
I mean, you probably got to be able to knit in a straight line. I mean, what would you knit for if you're a heavy metal fan? A pair of kind of fingerless gloves or something.
I suppose so, yeah.
Studs on the outside. Yeah. That's quite possible, yeah. Knit one, Pearl Jam. Although I know they're not strictly a heavy metal band. But that's about as good as I could get.
Very good.
Not heavy metal, sorry, Dance.
Yes, that's true. Dance will be going, well, that's not, you know, you won't be happy.
What was I watching the other day? Oh, yeah, I was watching a little bit of TV and a band came on, Andy. And you would not know of their work, but I would love to be in a room with you when you first witnessed their work. I saw this band and I immediately thought of you, but not necessarily for the right reasons.
What's their name?
I may get you tickets
I'll go and have a look.
I think it's not enough to listen. I think you need to watch them.
Okay.
I think they're right up your street.
I'm sure they're on
YouTube.
The
kind of easy listening you like in the car.
Are they?
They're called Slipknot.
Oh yeah, I've heard of Slipknot. They're heavy.
I think you'd like Slipknot.
I don't know.
They're very much favourites on Smooth.
Oh no, not.
No, but anyway, we'll come back. We'll come back to that, Andy, later on.
Okay.
I'd just love to get you front row tickets.
Thank you very much.
You'd enjoy them. You love a live spectacle.
Oh, I do. Yeah, no, I don't. Heavy metal. It's not my thing at all. Now, the two races today. The 4:45 at Beverly is the racing again next Monday evening. Handy. No big deal about that. You race every day. I'm worrying about that. And then the 7 o'clock at... I don't know where it is, actually. 7 o'clock somewhere tonight. Is the Logical Demolition Novices Hurdle.
That's nice.
It's better than the illogical demolition.
Illogical demolition is blowing something up when you don't want it blown up, isn't it?
Exactly. Really? Not really great, but there you go.
I love the fact you look out for the interestingly named races.
Honestly, I mean, this is not a political point, but the Prime Minister or Mrs. Awkward, as I call her.
Oh, yeah.
She's so
awkward.
Not a
political point.
No, not really. Has anyone ever looked less comfortable in their own skin? Even if she had Owen Morgan brought the trophy round.
Yeah.
And she's sort of like... awkwardly holding the trophy. She's so awkward. I've never seen anyone
say the word awkward a little bit more.
She is Mrs. Awkward.
Mrs. Awkward, so called because she's quite awkward. Okay, yeah.
And
you should be doing kids' books with Olaf Falafel, shouldn't you?
Well,
you've got
hopefully
the net
we will.
For it, clearly. Mr. Awkward. I think someone's got there with the Mr. Men.
That's
there,
true, really. Yeah. And post boxes will be painted outside World Cup venues. They've already done one.
Yeah, they have. Yeah,
they're lights.
I couldn't tell what colour it was.
Maybe it's white.
Oh, okay.
It's white with a gold stumps and bat logo on it.
Okay.
And a sort of gold sign. And I thought, that's a very nice idea, but why not do what you did in the Olympics, which is, for example, I was going to say Ben Stokes, that's no good. You're going to put one in his birthplace of Dunedin. That wouldn't go well.
Yeah.
But say Joe Root, you know, well, he was born in Leeds, say, I don't think he was, but say he was. You put one in his street in Leeds where he was born.
Yeah.
Or wherever he was, you know.
That's
what they did in the Olympics.
They went back to their original... colours afterwards. They've not stayed gold, the Olympic ones. They were repainted afterwards. I don't think they've stayed.
There is one in Chiswick, yeah.
Is that stayed gold?
I'm pretty sure it is still gold, yeah.
But, fair enough.
Yeah.
I'll trust you on that.
It's a nice touch, though, I must say. Nice.
I think putting one in Dunedin could be quite good.
And this letter annoyed me, honestly. These people.
It doesn't take much to annoy you.
Well, it doesn't, but you know. Pete, what's his name? Pete Hoare from Abingdon in Oxon wrote this. He says, "Well done to England, but the victory only goes to highlight just how popular limited over cricket has become. Now it's back to the usual 5-day bore with the Ashes." All right, Pete, are you not allowed to watch it when it gets to day five and the most exciting climax? You can sit in with Roy Davis and not watching any international sport.
And everybody that said women's football is better than men's football.
Yeah, and this one from John Morris. Is there a sporting event David Beckham won't be seen at? He's been to the Women's Football World Cup and Wimbledon. Looking forward to seeing him at the netball. He probably will be because he probably knows Tracy Neville. John Morris in Warwickshire.
What can't he do now? What's his forfeit?
Nothing.
He's got to pay.
Well, I just think that's a ridiculous thing to write because David Beckham can afford to go. John, if you had the money to go to various sporting events around the world, would you not go? You would go, wouldn't you? You wouldn't turn around and go, oh, I'm not going to that.
Do you want a bit of Slipknot?
Yeah, go on.
See what you think?
Yeah, let's have a listen.
Okay, let's have a go.
Who likes this music?
They're massive.
It's not even music, is it?
Don't say things like that, Grandad. It's not. Can't dance to that.
I love lots of music, but I don't like this.
Well, I mean, look, it's not everybody's cup of tea, but to say it's not, it clearly is music.
Well, it isn't. There's no melody.
300 million views that's had on YouTube. They're a massive band.
Doesn't mean anything.
Stadiums and festivals.
I was reading about a student who sells sparkly makeup. And she's one of the top 10 traders on Depop. She's got 13 million customers.
Why don't you start selling sparkly makeup then?
It's unbelievable, isn't it? How did that happen? Who are these 13 million people buying this sparkly makeup?
I've got no idea. Probably at the front row of a Slipknot.
Well done to student. What's her name? Student. I might as well give her a name check. A student.
It's like
Ellen.
She needs a name check on TalkSport with 13 million people following her. That's going to make. Oh yeah, we're the heartland of sparkly makeup.
I guarantee
aren't we?
None of them are TalkSport listeners. Would be my guess.
There'll be a few out there.
All right.
Ken driving his lorry, just getting up.
Ken,
the Scotch
are you
corner.
A customer?
He's got a little bit of sparkly
Ellen
makeup.
Ellen Bundy, 19, Kent, who sells sparkling makeup has become one of the top 10 traders on shopping app Depop with 13 million users.
Depop Origi. Why don't you start selling your own sparkly makeup? There is old Andy. Hello there, Andy Jacobs from TalkSport. Join me now in a world of sparkly makeup. I'd watch it, but not for the right reasons.
No, you wouldn't really, no.
Hawksby and Jacobs here on TalkSport.
I'll have Slipknot playing in the background.
Fantastic.
Why not?
See if you can get them wearing sparkly makeup. Good luck with that conversation, that phone call to the management.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Phil Mickelson, has lost 15 pounds. He's done a fair bit of weight, a dramatic. He's looking to change his fortunes golf wise. He's lost some weight. He's changed his diet. And he's been working with a guy called Dave Phillips. He said, I went on a bit of a retreat. He said, I hope it's going to make me play better. And the good thing about Dave is he is a coffee sommelier. And he has magic coffee creations. Which he
I mean, the coffee you read out to me and the whole thing will be worth running past our next guest.
It certainly will be. He is, well, he's a coffee boffin. He's Professor Jonathan Morris, author and coffee historian at the University of Herefordshire. His latest book is Coffee, A Global History. Jonathan, good afternoon.
Hi there, guys.
Well, look, let me run what Phil will be drinking throughout the open past you. This will be kind of fairly straightforward for, to your ears, but it was a bit odd for us. So, this is how he makes his coffee, or Phil does for him. Fill to the top with coarse ground Ethiopian Yirgacheffe coffee, then add water heated to 200 degrees, it says. Stir 5 or 6 times, wait 3 minutes, and then plunge it. If you wait too long, the beans get bitter. Phil will then pour it into a bodum or bottom pot and add Califia Farms almond milk, a dash of cinnamon, a few Yirgacheffe cacao nibs, 80%, and a little medium chain triglyceride oil, which is extracted from coconuts. With a hand electric blender, he mixes it until slightly frothy and then adds, and that's it. What do you mean, and that's it? So, listening to that.
What a thrilling
what do you make of that?
For one moment there, Andy, I think
I like the first part.
So close.
First part sounded good. First part is actually exactly what you would do.
The
200 degrees for us is about 93 degrees centigrade. So that's on the bar, on the mark, because we want to use water that's just off the boil. And Yirgacheffe or Yirgacheffe coffee is some of the best coffee in the world. So absolutely in line with that.
Wow.
The second part, adding all that stuff, I think Phil's made himself a fake cappuccino, to be perfectly honest.
And also, is it not right that if you make coffee in a cafetiere, and especially if you use all that other stuff, coconut oil, it's not great for the cholesterol, isn't it? Isn't there more that coffee in a cafetiere has a different property to coffee that comes out of an espresso machine, for example?
Well, that's certainly true. In terms of cholesterol, I don't think it would make that much difference, but the real difference it makes is in terms of caffeine. So if you were putting, if we stick with the coffee for the moment, you know, your caffeine count will be much, much higher using a cafetiere than it will with an espresso for a similar amount of water. A big cafetiere pot will give you significantly more caffeine. But, I mean, the thing with this is, I'm sort of looking at it, and yeah, I mean, if you throw this stuff in, as I say, it looks a bit like a fake espresso. There's virtually no calories in it, so frankly, you know, yeah, no wonder he's lost weight.
Yeah.
What he's taken out, the almond milk is very low calorie. The rest of it doesn't really have anything in it. Triglyceroid oil, that kind of is a sort of a slow release thing, so it probably just makes him feel a bit full for a bit longer. But, you know, really, you wouldn't need the coffee in there to make you lose the weight.
No. I mean, he's lost 15 pounds in 6 days with water and this special coffee blend for wellness that he says that's what he's been taking. I mean, it's quite rigorous, isn't it, a golf tournament?
Yeah.
I think that would take a little bit of strength out of him, but he obviously feels okay.
You get around about half the time. how much coffee do you drink, Jonathan? Because I'm quite fascinated by the amount of coffee that you can actually drink. Because I find I love espresso or cappuccino, but I can't drink more than one or two. After that, I'm jittery.
Yeah, okay. So the answer to that is it's a bit like asking someone how much they can drink beer or whatever. Everybody can drink different bits. Mm. And also at the same time, the more that you get used to it, the more you can drink a bit more. So I might drink sort of maybe 4 to 5 cups of coffee a day, and that is, by all our medical standards, perfectly safe. There was a report recently there have been millions of reports, but they all come up with something like moderate coffee consumption actually probably is beneficial in the sense that it will do things for your brain power, it will do things with antioxidants against some diseases, possibly cancer, some elements of cancer, some protection against dementia. It's at that level, it's perfectly healthy. If you throw lots of coffee down your neck fairly quickly, you're going to over-caffeinate and your body won't be able to metabolize it quick enough, and then you're going to get into trouble.
Mm. There's an awful lot of research into the effects of coffee on athletes, isn't there? And there's, I think, famously Arsene Wenger used to like the Arsenal boys to have an espresso before a game.
Half an hour before they train and half an hour before a game.
Yeah, so I mean, it's used in sport.
A bit earlier.
Yeah.
No, there is a lot of stuff about that. I mean, the guys who are well known for using it, Mo Farah, drank espressos just before he drank them about 20 minutes before he'd start the 10,000 metres.
Right.
I think he treated himself to a double before the London final or something. And that will work because that will basically up your endurance levels for a while and ups your adrenaline, which obviously you need, you've got a lot of adrenaline going in sport. And it supposedly reduces somewhat your pain endurance. In other words, your pain threshold goes up, so you feel less fatigued during the time that you're doing that event. So people like Mo Farah and Sir Chris Hoy is a huge coffee guy. He used to take a coffee machine around with him everywhere he competed.
Wow.
Yeah. So, there's very good evidence about that. And in fact, there was a period that the IOC actually put coffee on the kind of banned substances it used to test for caffeine from about the 80s through to the 2000s before in the 2000s they realized that, in effect, what I just said about, we all metabolize it differently, we all take it differently. So it was very difficult to distinguish if someone was actually cheating, as it were, by using caffeine as opposed to just having it as part of their lifestyle.
And this Ethiopian coffee that Phil's been drinking, is it more expensive than normal coffee?
Yeah, I'm saying, what would if you were buying that Phil's concoction in a flash coffee store, what would you expect to pay for that over the counter?
Actually, I would not expect to pay that much more. Okay. Yerga Chefe is good coffee, but Yerga Chefe is basically a district, so it's a bit like saying he drinks Beaujolais.
Right.
So, It's good stuff. I would think if you went into a coffee shop in London and tried to get that as a pour-over filter, a cupper's pour-over filter, you would probably get it for about £3.50 to £4.
Okay.
So, it's expensive, but it's not going to be that much more expensive. I could name you coffees that have cost you a lot more and not taste nearly as good.
Jonathan, good to talk to you. Mm. Thank you very much for joining us.
Okay, guys, have a good day.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
There we are. That was this afternoon's show. See, it came back to sport in the end.
Good, always does.
Yeah, bit of golf and, of course, the poor old Kiwis. So we're back tomorrow from 1, among our guests, of course, Tim Vickery, our man from South America, lots of other top names as well. So thanks for downloading us and we will catch up with you then.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.